The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Are we living in America's last days? How much longer will the United States exist? Why will America cease to exist as we now know it? What action should you and your family be taking now? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World, the Living Church of God, presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith explores America's last days. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Sir Winston Churchill stated before the American Congress during World War II, there is a great design and purpose being worked out here below. What is that great purpose? Do you know? Few men really know, and very few ministers know, because the God of creation is not real, even to most professing ministers and churchgoers. That's right. The God of the Bible is not real to them. About one-fourth of the entire Bible is devoted to prophecy, but most ministers studiously avoid preaching about that one-fourth of the Bible. Yet our Creator tells us that we had better listen to that one-fourth of His inspired Word. Notice what the Apostle Peter wrote in your Bible. And please go get a Bible, my friends, if you have one. Get a Bible, follow, check up on me. Don't just take my words for granted. I don't ask you to do that on this program. We want you to check up and to prove and know that you know what your Creator says. He says things are going to happen, and He knows. Men don't know. The pundits don't know. The newscasters don't know. God does know. Listen to what God says. Turn to 2 Peter near the end of your New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 19. He writes, "We also have the prophetic word made more sure." Now, on this program, I regularly read from the New King James Bible, but the Old King James says we have the sure word of prophecy, which sounds a little better, doesn't it? The sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of you have been taught you don't need to follow the Old Testament, but the New Testament constantly refers back to the Old Testament. And Peter said the word of prophecy was written by inspired men. They were inspired of God. And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And yet the only written word of God they had back then was what we call the Old Testament. And we're to live by it. Have you studied the Old Testament? Do you understand these prophecies? You need to do so. We're not afraid to tell you to study and check up. We want you to study and check up. Notice what God has done in blessing the United States and the British descended peoples, my friends. Here's a prophecy that I can prove to you, and we will prove to you through a booklet, and I'll show you part of it right on this program that refers to us. Notice back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, after Abraham had shown himself willing to sacrifice his only son, God spoke to him. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. "Then the angel of the Eternal called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Eternal, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore.'" And your descendants, Abraham's descendants, were to become a tremendous multitude of people in the latter days, as other scriptures make plain. Great masses, millions of people, a multitude of people like the stars of heaven, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Which peoples of the last 200 years have been mightily blessed and have possessed vital gates of their enemies? Great sea gates which control commerce in times of war, passage of military vessels, and so forth. The Bab el-Mandeb is the gate at the southern entrance of the Red Sea. It was controlled for years by Britain. It's been taken away, but God gave it to Great Britain. The Suez Canal was at the northern entrance to the Red Sea and has been regarded in the past as the greatest sea gate on earth. God gave that to Britain, and yet that was taken away once we began to turn away from God after the Second World War. And so Britain also controls Singapore and the Malacca Straits, a very tremendous, vital sea gate out in Southeast Asia, and that's been taken away. At the southern entrance of Africa, the southern tip of Africa, called the Cape of Good Hope, is a great sea base called the Simonson's Base. Britain controlled that for years, controlling that great sea passage, and that was taken away. The Panama Canal was given to the United States for a long time, about 70 or 90 years, whatever, yet God allowed that gate to be given away during the Jimmy Carter administration here in America. We gave up that great sea gates. And so God himself is beginning to intervene and humble us and cause us to lose the pride we used to have in our power, including these sea gates. They're all virtually gone. There is a vital reason for this, my friends. The only major sea gates left in danger of being taken away are Gibraltar, controlled by Great Britain, but which could fall any day or any month, perhaps, to Spain or Morocco. The Falkland Islands control the tip around South America, the Cape Horn, it's called. That gate, the Falkland Islands, may fall to Argentina. Not that these other nations are bad, but God simply gave those gates to the descendants of Joseph, and now they're being taken away because of our sins. Turn to Genesis 48, verse 14. Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. In other words, Israel did what you normally wouldn't do. He put his right hand on the younger son's head. The sons of Joseph. Joseph was the one who stored up the grain in Egypt. Joseph was the one who was to receive the birthright promise. And here is Israel, Jacob, giving that promise. And Jacob blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who's fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who's redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name, the name of Israel, be named on them. These were not Jews. Joseph was the younger brother of Judah. The Jews come from Judah. But the name Israel, not Judah, was to come upon the descendants of Joseph, upon Ephraim and Manasseh. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Who's done that in the latter days with great power? Notice now chapter 49 of Genesis. This is talking about you, my friends. This is not some ancient worn-out history. This is the thing that makes us sing, God bless America, from sea to shining sea. Notice this tremendous prophecy you've maybe never been told about. You've never understood. You're not taught about this in Sunday school. Genesis 49, Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Not back then, but in the last days of this earth's history, there are people that are going to be like this. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you see, Reuben was the firstborn and should have inherited the birthright. But did he? We feel by many references that Reuben is the modern people of France. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might in the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity. And the French have been great arbiters of culture and diplomacy for the last few hundred years. And the excellency of power, unstable as water, you shall not excel. Verse 19, he talks about Gad, just to give you an idea of this prophecy. Gad, a troop shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. Just a brief notice of Gad. Then verse 20, bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. Probably the modern nation of Belgium, with their Belgian lace and the other things they manufacture. Naphtali is a deer let loose, he gives goodly words. Probably the descendants of Sweden who give the Nobel Prize. God gives just a brief verse about these people, these other tribes of Israel. But notice verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have